we have some explaining to do. Yeah, so those are first episode in what, like 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
2 weeks. Yeah, so let me quickly explain, because we basically left all of our loyal listeners in the dark in terms of why we've basically been MIA the last little bit, probably last 2 weeks or something like that. So last week, so one part of it's very, very short. I was in Florida up until Sunday, so yep. I wasn't going to record in Florida. It's my vacation, basically. So that's why we didn't record for last week. And then the week before that, I was getting very, very sick very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So basically, long story short, I was just at home, because as one is during the pandemic, and I noticed I had some oral pain, like my dental pain. My mouth was really, really sore. Like, not really, really sore, but like it was like it started off being a little bit sore. It's like, okay, it might not be anything.
Yeah.
He was using like Listerine, antibacterial stuff to see if that would help. It didn't. And then eventually the pain got like really, really, really bad. So I said I was gonna go to the dentist, and I did some research, because like I could also feel my head was very slowly starting to get like a headache. So I did some research. And again, I don't know exactly what it was, but I'm assuming it was a sinus infection. Because like it was like my head and my overall, like the right side of my face, just felt like it was literally about to explode. A lot of congestion, anything like that. Anyways, so I was basically in bed doing nothing for like 4 days, because like even like I just had no. For those of you who haven't had sinus infections before, they fucking suck. They're awful. Like you have so much pain in your head. It is awful. And anyways, so I had to take some time to recover. It was a situation where like I was getting like maybe 4 hours of sleep, 3.5 hours of sleep for like two nights. It was quite awful. Couldn't sleep. Anyways.
But so did you confirm it was a sinus infection from someone?
I didn't. However, like right now, so to put into perspective, I started feeling it like 2 weeks ago now, which is like 14 days.
Yep.
And that's typically give or take when like sinus infections clear out. I do still feel it a little bit, but like in terms of what like I'm going, like in terms of like how I feel like just monumental, or like exponentially better now than I did like 2 weeks ago. I mean,
it's good to hear.
Probably gonna see a doctor in the next couple of days just to make sure that's not like anything else, because I do have an appointment with a doctor to discuss something else. But yeah, we'll see. So that's really good. Why we've been gone for so long. It's been a really interesting 2 weeks, to say the least. But we're back. We're gonna get back on our regular schedule, health permitting, I guess.
Yeah. I also kind of just took the last week off. Like, I did not do any Taxi Squad pod work over the last week, too. I was like, hey, time's gone. I'm going to use this as, like, a mini one-week vacation, too, because I figured here until the end of the season. So we got trade deadline coming up in, like, 2 weeks now.
Yep.
And then we got playoffs beginning a few weeks after that. And then, you know, playoffs are insane in and of themselves. And then it'll be great frenzy before we know it. So I figured I'm going to get in my week now. Because the next 2-3 months, we're going to be going ham.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out again. We're going to figure out how we're going to do this in terms of, because I think there's going to be a lot of content that might mean increasing how frequently we record, might not. Just depends on how busy we are, really. Because again, this is,
basically
just depends on. Anyways.
So. Yeah, I took some time today to figure out what the heck we're going to talk about. And as I was researching, I'm like, it'll be very hard to fit this into like a 1 hour show. Yeah. And typically we aim for like just under an hour. If you look at all of our previous episodes, we've been very consistent with how long they've been. It's like 53 minutes, 55 minutes, 57 minutes, 54 minutes, like the last 5 or 6 in a row. So I think that's a good standard for us. But considering that, we're going to need a couple episodes at least here just to record today, just to get all this info out. So what you might end up seeing is, we're still going to record twice a week, but we might record one right now, and then in a few hours today we're going to record another one.
Yeah.
Possibly another one on Thursday. So we'll see how much info we have to cover, how long it takes. But as of right now, before we even start, there's a lot. There's a butt ton of stuff that has happened.
That's what happens when you take 2 weeks off, but that's okay.
But it's like we took 2 weeks off, but also everything happened.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair.
And like the world also kind of started talking.
Yeah.
So we'll get into it.
Yeah.
I want to know, like, what did you do in Florida though? Like, what rides did you go on?
I basically spent like 85 to 90% of my time in Florida at Disney World.
Yeah.
So basically I flew in the Wednesday night, gone to our hotel, then basically spent like Thursday, like basically spent all day between like Thursday to Sunday, like just like the Saturday night at the parks. And then Sunday morning, we also went to a park, but we had to, our flight was at 9:30. So I had to cut it a bit short, left at like, I think we went to the Hedzie Airport at like around like 6 o'clock, and then kind of flew home. Like, that's one thing about Disney World, for those of you who haven't taken any recent trips there, but like when you go, there's such a time commitment that you're basically spending almost all your time there. No complaints at all. I have no complaints of that. That was basically the only thing that we got to do, because that's really all I really wanted to do in the first place. So it was fun though. It was a nice little trip. The first time I've been to the States since the pandemic started. So nice to go back. Yeah.
I went to Florida in 2019 with my family, and we went to Universal. I was a huge fan of that. Simon, you hate Universal.
Me and my good friend hate Universal. We actually talked about that quite at length on our trip. But yes. Yeah.
But Disney World, it's Disney World, right? Not Disneyland.
Yeah, it's Disney World.
Yeah, Disney World has its like unique charm in Florida. And I regret having enough time to go there when I went to Florida a few years ago.
Yeah.
But one day I will.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
And then I'm going to copy your entire itinerary. So
good. You'll have a blast. I can promise you that.
Okay. Also, happy International Women's Day. We're recording this on
facts.
Tuesday, March 8th. Happy International Women's Day. Big shout out to all the women in our life. You make everything possible. Shout out to mom. Love you, mom. Shout out to all of my female friends. Shout out to all my female family members. Love you guys so much. And I'm going to post like an Instagram story on my own account later tonight. I think I saw this cool post somewhere. Someone posted it about like, here's like 10 influential women that you probably have never heard about or were educated on. So yeah. Ooh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Post that.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Hell yeah. I repeat that sentiment. That's a very, it kind of says a lot that I think a lot of people don't really take this day for, like, it feels like a lot that they just take it for granted a lot, which is kind of, I think you'd say that a lot about in terms of a lot of the stuff that kind of surrounds women, whether it's women's sports or anything like that. But I mean, I think everyone, including myself, is very appreciative of the stuff that women do, like whether it's your mother, whether it's your sister, whether it's your friends, whatever. There's a lot that they do that I think that goes under, that gets very underappreciated or not, that doesn't really get enough recognition. So so if you have a minute today, be sure to tell all the people, all the meaningful women in your life, how much they mean to you. Because again, it's something that's very important that probably doesn't happen anywhere near as much as it probably should.
Yep. Okay. So happy International Women's Day. One other thing I wanted to talk about before we get into the thick of things here. Highlights. They have, we started posting them and we posted a few before we went on our mini vacay. So definitely check out the TikTok, check out the Instagram pages, check them out. Yeah. I have more locked and loaded, ready to upload whenever, Simon, you're ready.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm always ready, but yeah.
So over the next few weeks, you're going to see them popping off. Let's see what happens. I'm excited.
Me too. Let's grow the game. We also hit 50 followers on Twitter, so that was fun.
Oh, no way. That's sick. Yeah,
that's a little milestone. So thank you to all of our Twitter followers for following us back and for Following the Taxes Bet on Twitter. Working on being a bit more active, but greatly appreciate the following, obviously. And yeah.
You know, I have some ideas. I think maybe adding a person to manage their social or something like that might be very useful. I don't know. You and I can talk about it later on.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, this is off the pod stuff.
Okay. The first thing I wanted to talk about, and I'm going back in time now because the last time we recorded was February 17th.
Mm-hmm.
We posted a couple episodes the following week because I staggered them. I was like, okay, Simon's sick. Yeah. I'm going to go on vacation. Yeah. So I staggered the releases a little bit. But since the last time we recorded was Feb 17th, I think the thing that happened next after that was Rodion Amirov. Mm-hmm. He was unfortunately diagnosed with a brain tumor. Statement from Kyle Dubas mentioned Rodion commenced the 2021-22 season with Salavat Yuffa of the KHL, but suffered an injury to open the season. During the course of his recovery from the injury, he developed some new unrelated symptoms that required ongoing extensive investigation over the last few months. So there's a lot of popping going on. Give me one sec. Okay, I think this is better. Statement came out. He has been diagnosed with a brain tumor, which absolutely sucks. Thoughts are with him. I hope he makes a full recovery. This is a very, very scary thing. Our condolences. I hope he will make a full recovery. We'll see what happens. We hope to find out more. It has been a little bit of time now since we've heard about this sort of thing happening to anyone in the NHL. I believe Brian Boyle, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. No. Well, Brian Boyle had cancer, but I don't think it was a brain tumor. Yeah.
There was another player. I'm getting this mixed up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You never like to see this happen, but I hope we find out more in the coming weeks.
Yeah, so Brian Boyle had leukemia. So he made a full recovery. He's fine now. I think he's still playing. He's with the Pittsburgh Penguins right now. So that obviously gives you a bit more hope with I don't want to say gives you hope as in like it looks really unfortunate, but like you said, we obviously do hope he gets better. We obviously hope he makes a full recovery. That's obviously like it's in situations like this, hockey is just completely like it's a non-factor. I speak for both of us in saying like the primary thing that I think everyone should be talking about right now is just Rodion Amirov's health and make sure that he can get back to 100% like health wise. I think it's pretty good that it seems like from what I've seen he's in pretty good spirits, which is very like it's incredible. It's kind of incredible actually, because I mean like it's not, this isn't very light stuff, this is very kind of, it's scary. You said it best yourself. So I mean again, we both obviously hope that Rodion Amirov makes a full recovery, because like the kid's only like 20-21 and like
I want to say he's younger than that.
Might be, like it's so fucking shitty, like it's awful.
Yeah, let me quickly look up Amirov. Rodion Amirov is currently 20 years old. He just turned 20 a few months ago. Man, he's had a really tough season as well. I was looking at his what he's done this season. He started the preseason on the first line of his KHL team. But then just before the regular season started, he got injured, missed the team's first 8 games. Then he returned in September, but then went back on the sidelines with another injury. So then he's been like kind of up and down. And then in December, he got a positive COVID test. That's the last time he played. And then started developing some symptoms. And then they diagnosed him with a brain tumor. So really, really tough season. Leafs prospects themselves, a couple of them have had some really, really scary seasons. I think Nick Robertson also went through something like pretty significant this season. I forgot what exactly it was. I believe it was
he fractured his leg.
Fractured leg. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Before we get into more hockey related stuff, and I'm not sure if this was on your agenda. But I think we should probably make mention of it. But I really hope I don't think we have any listeners in this region, but I really hope the people of Ukraine are the people of Ukraine are they are in trouble. They're not in trouble in terms of like they're in trouble, but like they,
yes. And I was going to come up in a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm trying to like, I'm trying to put the words together here because I don't think I'm having trouble finding words to kind of voice how disappointing and upsetting and frustrating and maddening the events that are currently transpiring in Ukraine are. Hopefully sooner rather than later they can find peace and they can kind of go on and live the rest of their lives. They can find at least some, I don't say retribution, but basically find some type of way to kind of move on from this and live the rest of their life. But it's absolutely insane to me, and it's so sad to basically learn, like not just learn, but kind of see the events that have transpired so far. So again, maybe we can get into this a bit later if you have any additional thoughts or anything like that, because I think it's obviously a very serious issue.
Yep.
It's something that should be talked about more, in my opinion, but it gets just so devastating, tragic, unfortunate, unnecessary. Like you can pick so many words and adjectives of these events, and I don't even think that'd be doing it justice.
I had my notes on this. I was going to mention this later in the episode, but yeah. I'm glad you brought it up now because I think it is more important to talk about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I echo literally exactly what you said. We all know what's going on in Ukraine. Like, I'm just going to say what I have to say about this right now, too.
Go for it.
We don't really have to talk extensively about what's going on. I think a lot of the Western media now has taken grasp of the situation, and they give constant updates. So we're not going to be a podcast that gives you the updates on the situation.
Yeah.
We're going to ask you to follow your local news, make sure you're in the know of what's happening, or in the now, whatever it is. And make sure you follow everything, make sure you know what's going on. I myself thought, like, as humanity, as a society, like we were over this kind of stuff.
Yep.
Obviously very wrong. The last decade in fact has kind of proven me wrong, but I thought like maybe we were trending toward a more peaceful time in society, right?
Yeah.
I guess some world leaders don't see it that way, which is very unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Some people in the world still have very invasionist, shit disturbing, need to gain more land sort of ideas on their agenda, which is very sad. And so, yeah, like, it's sad. It sucks what's going on. I'm keeping myself as informed as possible on what's happening. I'm trying to share as much as I can to my friends. And this has hit, like, our home directly as well. So we know I know a lot of Ukrainian and Russian friends. And, like, nearly every single person I talk to has condemned this thing. Many, many organizations across the world as well. We see the impact on our gas prices. They're hitting $2, probably more than that, sometime this week. And there's like nothing we can do about it until the war stops. Mm-hmm. And as of right now, this is like day 14 of the invasion, something ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if there's any end in sight at the moment. Obviously we hope it'll end soon, but I don't know.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And like, obviously, the fact that the war has affected Canada is a good point. I don't think a lot of people realize that, but in saying that, I think it's also kind of important to realize that even though things like gas prices are obviously, they're being affected, and there's other, different things and different perspectives of Canada that are being affected by the war. At least at this current moment in time, like, at least to me, it just feels so insignificant compared to the actual fact that there's so much more happening in Ukraine.
Yes. Prices. Yeah. I'm not saying like that's the biggest takeaway from this. I'm just saying the impacts of this are being felt all over the world.
Absolutely.
What's happening in Ukraine right now is a disaster. Like, it's a humanitarian crisis right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
obviously
we can go on and on about why that's not happening, but it is happening right now. And if you can donate, please donate. spread the news, condemn this as much as possible. I don't know how much impact our individual voices will have on this, but like we have a platform, right? So I'm gonna use this to spread the news as well.
Like it's, man, like it's so like, even just seeing the like but there's people currently living in bomb shelters and living in basically cellars right now, basically scared to step out on the street with the thought of basically losing your life is so incredibly sad and just disappointing, because it's just so unnecessary. And it's, anyways, this isn't something that we, again, we're not really the people to give you all the information or kind of what's happening, because that's not like we don't, because it's, we don't have the answers for you. Like, just being straight up, we don't have all the insight or the answers for why this is happening or how we can prevent this. But like, in terms of, but I think it is important, especially for even just regular people, not regular people, but like the average person who doesn't really follow all this, to kind of stay knowledgeable with what's happening, continue to spread awareness for the stuff that has happening in Ukraine, and kind of explore ways that you can help. Cause like at this point, like anything is better than nothing. Cause it's incredibly sad.
And there is the Ukraine's prime minister Zelensky. Mm-hmm. If there is anything to be taken away from this that has any positive light, it's the bravery, the courage of the Ukrainian people. Their prime minister is a fucking badass. We all know what he said. I think there was a call about the United States possibly asking if they could evacuate him. And he said, I don't need a ride, I need ammunition.
Yeah.
That was a couple weeks ago. And since then, he's been on the front lines. He's the one. We've seen so many pictures of him. Like, man, what a guy. Yeah. And I hope, like right now, I can tell he's a clear, good leader for the Ukrainian people. I just hope that this is resolved as peacefully as possible. Right now, that sounds almost
that's wrong. Really it, right? Wrong for I think me. It's really all you want. I think it's really all you can really ask for. Just for it to be resolved as peacefully as possible. Again, at this point, I kind of have my doubts about that, but hopefully things can kind of get resolved peacefully sooner rather than later. But
yeah, we'll see what happens. The notes that I have regarding the situation, I have them on the standpoint of sports. So we talked about the impact of this Russian invasion of Ukraine, but I want to make kind of a turn now, kind of a right turn, and focus on its impact on sports, mainly hockey. Sure. So on February 28th, the NHL condemned Russia's invasion of Ukraine and urged a peaceful resolution as quickly as possible. On that date, they suspended their relationships with business partners in Russia, and they are pausing Russian language social and digital media sites, which is big, which is very, very big.
That's massive. Yep.
Yeah. And that was on February 28th. Since then, a lot more has happened. Like, let me just pull this up over here. Ovechkin, when he had an interview, I don't know if you saw that.
I saw it. I didn't really have a chance to read all of it, but I saw some of it. Yeah.
So Ovechkin, he is, like, on his social media account, he's known to be a supporter of Putin. And I think he has like a few videos or a picture or something on his Instagram account or social media.
His profile picture is him shaking hands with Vladimir Putin.
There you go. Okay. So that's obvious. That's pretty blatant. I mean, it is what it is. But when he was asked about like what his stance is, whether he wants to support the war, which side is he on, how does he feel about this, if he had to say anything about this to Putin, what he would say. And obviously, you're not going to expect anything out of him. He's a hockey player. Yeah. Like, I don't think he's that involved with politics to even give an appropriate answer. And even if he wanted to give an appropriate answer, man, I bet he's scared. Like, any wrong word from Alex Ovechkin or any other Russian player in the NHL or even in the world of sports, I'd say most of them are scared as fuck about saying anything wrong about the situation.
Mm-hmm. Like you have to be, right? Like, I guess it's kind of relatable. Like, Artemi Panarin a couple years ago spoke out against Vladimir Putin. Mm-hmm. He had to take an unrelated leave of absence. Unrelated, in air quotes, leave of absence.
To make sure his family's okay.
Yeah, like, I feel bad. Sorry, I don't feel bad. Like, I like, I like, I look. I would like, we obviously never know what Ovechkin's thinking. I genuinely believe that like he condemns it, because I think I believe he actually came out and condemned it, which is good.
He said, so I'm gonna add this before you continue. Yeah. He said, it's a hard situation. Mm-hmm. I have family back in Russia, so, and it is scary moments, but we can't do anything. We just hope it's gonna end soon and everything is gonna be all right. Please, no more war. It doesn't matter who's in the war. I think we live in a world where we like to have peace.
Yeah.
That's all he really said. He said that kind of over and over again. But yes, yeah, he said Putin is his president, but he's not into politics. He just hopes everything is going to be done soon. He's not in control of the situation.
So like, yeah, anyways, man, like it's tough. It really is tough, because like you, like you'd obviously love him to come out and condemn everything that happens. I hope the Ukrainians are okay. Stuff like that. Yada yada yada.
Yeah.
But like he's also a hockey player. Like he doesn't really have any impact or anything in regards to what's happening in Ukraine. But anyways,
I mean, yeah, like it's hard to say. I think he does. I think he definitely would have some impact, but he's scared.
Yeah. Like it's just such anything. Like it's just so, it's such a fucked up situation. Like it, like it's, and like it's difficult for me to say anything, like anything other than that, because like, man, like how can you not like just think of what happened with like, there's obviously like probably more like scarier situations in terms of like in terms of people that have come out and like could basically condemn Putin's actions, like Panarin, for example. But like, how can you not just be fucking terrified? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, yeah, it's, like it's
some people have, but most players in the NHL, they're very quiet about the situation. Mm-hmm. I think who was it? Nikita Zadorov.
Right.
Posted on Instagram saying no war, stop it.
Yeah.
And there was, I think someone, there was a rumor that Zadorov could be blacklisted from playing for his country's national team just as a result of that.
Big whoop, whatever. Sorry, no, like sorry, I mean,
yeah.
If you're Zadorov, like you, why the fuck would you care? Like anyways, like the other side, I've genuinely wondered about, because like I saw some of the quotes, like I wonder how much of this was the Capitals also saying we don't say anything that's like super, that's like super super political or anything like that, because like the Washington Capitals did also have released a very pretty disappointing policy recently, where fans were banned from bringing in signs in support or like anything with anything that had to do with the Ukraine and Russia situation. I hated that personally. It, to me, that made absolutely no sense.
It's the censorship.
Yeah, well, yeah, like I don't get it. And I think they only recently came out with a statement basically condemning this stuff that was happening in Ukraine, which makes absolutely no sense to me.
A lot of people are saying like, oh, sports, you know, sports is sports and politics are politics, but no. They are very, very related. Mm-hmm. Sports are often an area, although we might like to think like, oh, it's all fun and games, but it often carries politics within it. And this is an example of this. Like Dan Milstein, he's an agent for a lot of different Russian players, and he himself said that like there's a lot of pressure on them right now to say the right things, to make sure they're not saying anything wrong. And it's just like a really difficult time for them in the league right now. Yeah. So if anyone is going to go on the record and make fun of them for not blatantly condemning the situation or not going on the air and saying, stop invading Ukraine, think about their side of the coin as well. Like, you know what happens to people in Russia if they condemn Putin.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing too, right? Like, people say, like, keep politics out of sport, but human rights isn't politics. It's not.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's something that I've seen, like, because there's been so many things that people have, like, talked about in terms of, keeping politics out of sport. Like, most recently, like, I think the biggest one, like, that I've seen, and especially the National Football League, is, like, a lot of, again, like, there's a lot of American states and cities who are very conservative, who don't think that like players should be able to kneel during the national anthem. They think it's They think it's politics. They think it's like it's ruining the sport. But like, human rights and standing up for what you believe in isn't political. Maybe this is that aspect of it. It's something more for another discussion or another day. But like, it's been kind of disappointing to see, maybe not necessarily in this situation, because it looks like the majority of stuff I've seen has been overwhelmingly positive in terms of condemning this stuff that's been happening in Russia, which is great. That should be everyone's first reaction. But it's just kind of disappointing at times to see kind of the reaction that other stuff gets around the league. And because it's missing the point, basically. Anyways,
players have Russian players in the NHL. They have, and Ukrainians, they have families back home. So they're worried about their playing careers over here. They're trying their best to manage their playing careers over here, but now they got to focus on that as well. They're like, okay, well, if you're Ukrainian, you're obviously thinking about them. If you're Russian, you can't say anything wrong because now you're also thinking about them.
Yeah.
It's just a tough situation, man. I want to move forward a little bit. IIHF suspended Russian and Belarusian players from international play recently. This also happened late February. So any 2022 event, including Continental Cup, U18, Hockey World Championship, et cetera, everything. No Russian or Belarusian athletes will compete. I believe FIFA has also gone out and they said Russia and Belarus will no longer compete in the FIFA World Cup 2022, I believe.
Yeah, I'll look it up right now. Hold on.
EA Sports has also removed Russian and Belarusian national and club teams from NHL 2022. Yeah, NHL 22. They said that we stand with the people of Ukraine and join the voices around the world calling for peace. So, like every large hockey organization has gone out and tried to do something, which is good. I like it. Jaromir Jagr held a game in Prague. Sorry, I don't know how to say that.
Prague,
the Czech Republic, to support Ukraine. He got a donation from the NHL as well to do that. He raised $160,000 on Tuesday, which is, I think, today. He drew 14,000 people in an 18,000-seat arena in Czech Republic, and all that money went toward helping Ukraine refugees flee.
That's crazy. Good for Jagr. Holy
hell, yeah. Yep. So there's a lot going on.
So Russia was banned from FIFA, by the way. They're appealing it, but they're currently banned. I can't foresee FIFA lifting the ban.
I don't know about Belarus. Was Belarus also banned? Or did they even...
I only saw Russia, but anyways, if we're wrong, someone can yell at us. Anyways.
That's okay. I mean, we're trying, right?
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much, yeah.
It's tough, though. We'll try our best to keep updating whenever possible. We won't, like... Obviously, we can't make this a Ukraine invasion centered.
And that's a thing, right? Like, it's tough because, like, again, while we can't really speak to much greater volume or much greater than what we already have about the situation. If you want to hear more, go explore like actual politics podcasts or things that actually or other resources where you can actually learn about the situation, because I mean, I can tell you right now, you're not gonna learn much from here in terms of us.
You know our thoughts. What we'll do is we'll try our best to give you the sports side of what's going on. But for the actual information, you have your local news networks, please follow them.
Yeah. And that you have your own resources, you know where to find resources, you know how you can explore the resources. So like I would strongly encourage anyone who's interested in the situation to look that up, because like that's probably the best way you're gonna get the information you're looking for. So
okay, let me think about what we can go from here. We've been going for about 30 minutes, I think. What we could do is we could talk about the two trades the Leafs made, or you remember those? I wanted to ask you this question for a long time now.
Okay.
It's because I know you're a supporter of this sport.
Okay.
and you like sport a lot.
Okay.
I just want your entire sports thought.
Betting thing you're gonna ask me about.
No. I want your entire thoughts on MLB right now. Go.
Oh my god. Okay, sorry, that was really loud. Okay. This is this rant is like I've been. Oh my god.
Go for it.
Okay. Who? Is everyone ready for opening day? I hope so, but the league isn't. Okay, so hold on. I need to lay down some context here. Okay, so for those people who follow baseball, I'm sure you know what's going on right now. For those of you who don't follow baseball and primarily follow hockey, I'm going to try to sum this up. So in 2012, after the 2012 season, the NHL had to negotiate a new collective bargaining agreement.
Yep.
Now, if you want to know what that is, look it up. It's a lot. It's basically a lot of financial stuff, a lot of business stuff. It's revenue sharing. It's luxury tax for MLB. That is like salary cap in the NHL, hard cap, soft cap, stuff like that. It's basically a bunch of guidelines of how they want the game to be played, which is fine. Okay, fine. In 2012 and 2013, the NHL and the NHLPA, the NHL Players Association, couldn't come to an agreement before their deadline or whatever. So the season was cut short. It was a shortened season. It was 48 games. Leafs made the playoffs that year. Broke my heart anyways. the MLB is currently going through that process right now. And there's a bunch of reasons why. And to sum it up with you, I'm like, again, if you, I can't emphasize this enough, if you want to know all the information, go to ESPN, go to MLB.com. There's a lot of really good writers who are writing about the situation in the MLB. But basically, to try to sum it up in a couple words, the MLB revenues have been going up. The opportunities for players to make more money has been staying flat. So the players are basically feeling they have the right to earn more money. Whether or not you agree or disagree with that, that's a whole other thing. I'm not going to get into that. I don't think it's really anyone's business, but people like to take sides in these kind of argument. I just hate it. And I hate it because we are now, as someone who is a genuine fan of the sport, the interest in the sport is already down. Average age of the fan is going up and up and up every year.
Which is bad.
Not attracting new fans. And we're getting to the point now. And again, this is something I keep hearing, and this is something I couldn't agree more with. The sport of baseball, if it keeps going the way it is going, it will become irrelevant. And I think the longer this goes on, the more fans are going to be lost. And as someone who, because I watch a lot of baseball. I'm in a fantasy baseball league, keeper league. Came in second place last year in the regular season. Very disappointing. But anyways, long story short, it's so frustrating. And there's no easier way to put it. And then you have, because really right now, it feels like so much of the league and the Players Association's energy is being focused into how can we convince the fans that it's the other team of the other side's fault instead of actually trying to resolve the issue. So it sucks. I hate it. I'm definitely frustrated with the sport in the league right now. I was looking forward to going to opening day or an opening day, like the Jays home opener, and having a really good time. But like now it's just like I can barely even think about the sport right now without just wanting to nix all allegiance I have to that sport. Cause it's so dumb, man. It's so dumb. It's so stupid, but it's important. Don't get me wrong, but I just think there's a way bigger picture to the way that's being looked at right now from the perspective of the MLB and the MLBPA. But I don't think it matters. I don't know.
What do you mean it doesn't matter though? Like the opinion of the NHL and MLB?
No, what I meant was it doesn't matter in the sense that they're not the MLB and MLB, the MLBPA aren't currently taking the optics into account, which there's nothing we can do about it. That's more why I say it doesn't really matter. What I say or what the average fan say doesn't matter to them. This is like the third year. This is potentially going to be the third year in a row, or I think last year was 162 games. This is going to be the second year out of the last 3 years where they're basically going to have a shortened season. The first one was because of COVID, which was fine, but like part of the reason it was shortened is because they couldn't come to a CBA agreement. Yep. Same thing. So the thing is, we're basically in a millionaire versus billionaire situation right now. Again, I'm not a business major. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know everything about luxury tax or about like the way that revenues work or the way that are basic. I'm not going to give people advice on how to run their business or how they should be getting paid. That's not my business. Like, it just seems like the optics right now just seem so, so poor, given that they're basically fighting over they're fighting over money in a time where people are still recovering from COVID. People are still a lot of people still don't have jobs. A lot of people were laid off during the pandemic. So
but at the same time, I find it hard to side with the billionaires.
Me too. My thing is, as a fan right now, I'm not siding with anyone. I'm not siding with the players. I'm not siding with the owners. While I understand where the player's perspective, I'm so incredibly frustrated with both sides right now that I'm trying not. It's difficult for me to take a side.
I'm not as educated on the situation as you probably are, but from what I know is, so this is just based off of the letter. The letter from the commissioner, and this came out on March 1st.
Oh, I hated that letter. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
It just seemed like a very, very passive-aggressive letter. Mm-hmm. Robert Manfred. And I'm just going to...
He's the commissioner, for those of you who do not know.
Of MLB. I'm going to skim through it. Basically, he mentioned, I had hoped against hope that I would not have to be in the position of canceling games. They are now. I think the first two series, at least for the Blue Jays, has been canceled now, which were against the Rays.
So here's the thing about that. They said a hard deadline or whatever back last or 2 weeks ago, last Wednesday or Thursday, was it? Didn't come to an agreement. So as a result, they said they were going to cancel it, which is fine. But apparently now they have set a new deadline, which is tonight. If they can come to agreement tonight, then they feel like they can get an 162 game season in. But is it realistic? I don't think so. So I think all fans should basically be under the assumption that there's going to be games canceled. But anyways, go ahead.
They said, I want to assure our fans that our failure to reach an agreement was not due to a lack of effort on the part of either party. I feel like it is.
Yeah.
Players came here for 9 days, worked hard, and tried to make a deal. I appreciate their effort. Blah, blah, blah. He said they've listened to the PA throughout the process. The primary goal of the PA has been to increase pay for younger players, which makes sense.
Yeah.
As I said previously, we agree and share that goal. We offered to raise the minimum salary to 700 grand, an increase of 130 grand from 2021. We offered to create an annual bonus pool of $30 million for the very best young players. Basically, they're offering 33% raise to nearly two-thirds of MLB players. I think that's what at least Robert Manfred said. I don't think the NHLPA wants to meet on that.
Yeah.
So my assumption is they want more.
Yeah.
What else? The proposal also addressed player and fan concerns about issues like service time and competitive issues. So not
fan issues, but sure, go ahead.
I'm reading this part.
Just conceptually, in terms of I don't get why Robert Manfred feels like those are strictly ownership. And anyways, sorry, go ahead.
He said baseball would for the first time have a draft lottery. And there would be an incentive system to encourage clubs to promote top prospects to their opening day rosters. Blah blah blah. Is that something that fans really care about? I think fans just want baseball, no?
It's yes and no. For the most part, no. But the main thing I think, and the main reason, anyone, and I think the big thing again, if people who follow the sport will might agree with me. If you do, if you disagree, again, feel free to yell at us or whatever on Twitter or anything like that. But like, the main message of this thing has been competitiveness. I think the players feel that the owners are not spending enough money to be competitive. So that's currently why the main thing you're going to hear a lot of is the CBT, which is a competitive balance tax, or a lot of people know it as a luxury tax. So the luxury tax, the competitive balance tax, basically how much a team can spend up to without facing a tax. Teams who spend over that limit have to face a penalty. So like, for example, it's like, for those of you who watch Moneyball, the Oakland Athletics, for example, or who are considered to be like a small market team in air brackets, because I don't really think any team that's worth over $1 billion is not a small market. Like, and I think all the teams worth over $1 billion. The main, like, so teams like the with like really big budget teams, like the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, your typical like major, like big spender teams, historically have spent over that threshold. They're not doing that anymore, or at least teams aren't. So for example, like the Boston Red Sox, I think it was 2 years ago now, they went out and traded like a top five player in Mookie Betts because they understood he was going to be a free agent soon. They didn't want to pay him. They didn't want to go over that luxury tax because they would basically get penalized for how much money they were spending. The New York Yankees did that historically, or at least I think they did it not recently, but like in the past, they've been a team who has historically spent over the luxury tax. That's something the owners no longer want to do, because they feel that they just want to spend their money, which is fine, I guess, to a certain extent. But and the players just feel like they want a higher luxury tax so teams can spend more money without being penalized. That's the easiest way I can put it. The owners don't want to do that because they don't want to spend money, which is understandable. It's just, man, the overall theme of competitiveness isn't a fan issue, though. It's not. To some fans, it is. Like, I'm sure, like the Florida Marlins, for example, it's an issue where they haven't been competitive for a while. But like, man,
apparently they also they're looking at changing the playoff format. So the players have a 12-team format that they're now agreeing on. What is the typical baseball playoff format?
Okay, so for the baseball, you have three. So each, so there's American League and there's National League. So the MLB, which is technically one league, is split up into American League and National League. That's basically your two conferences in hockey terms. So for each league, or each conference, I'm going to call it, there's three divisions. So in the playoff for baseball, there is three division winners. Those three division winners. So there's one winner for each division, meaning there's three division winners for each league or each conference. Those teams automatically make the playoffs. There's also two wildcard teams. There's two wildcard teams in each conference. So again, there's a total of four wildcard teams in the MLB, two from the American League, two from the National League. Those two teams play in a wild card game, which is probably one of the most exciting games for the entire season. And the winner of that team plays the higher. So typically there's technically five playoff teams in each conference, or each in the American League and the National League. Okay. But after the wild card game, there's four in each league. Yep. The players want 12 teams. The owners want 14. The owners want 14 so they can have more playoff teams, more playoff revenue, more money generated, etc. The players don't want it because it basically reduces the incentive to be competitive, because you can basically make the playoffs with the worst record. That's all it is.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
But a part of me is thinking, like, why would not the players want that? Like,
that's a good question.
Like, more teams that make the playoffs, that means more money that flows in. Isn't that better for you as a player as well?
So for the players, and this is what I think. Again, we all hear the cliche of like, oh, like you always want to win a World Series, you always want to play in the playoffs, yada yada yada. I believe what they say. I believe that they love to play in the playoffs. I just think it's for leverage. I think they're just I think it's strictly just, we have given up player salaries. We've given up. We've compromised so much things, so many things. We want to have 12 teams in the playoffs. And if you compromise on the competitive ballot tax, for example, we'll go to 14 teams. Okay. I think they secretly want 14 teams. I just think that they're using it as leverage and a bargaining chip right now.
Interesting. Okay. Ah, man, what a messy situation. I'm not a hardcore baseball fan. I'm pretty casual. So yeah. I go to, I don't know, a game, maybe two every season. It sucks because the Jays, who are from Toronto, were doing so well over the last couple seasons now. And there was
just last year, but yeah.
There's so much excitement growing around the team. And it just sucks. Like, I really wanted to watch Blue Jays baseball this summer. Sorry, I dropped something. This summer. Yeah. And now I'm like, man, that may potentially be robbed from us.
Like, here's the thing, right? Like baseball, there's no easier way to put it. Baseball's a mess right now. Yeah. It is an absolute mess. So, like, this has happened. And the reason I think so many fans are so frustrated is a couple of weeks ago, Robert Manfred said, we view as losing games as an absolutely disastrous outcome. But yet the MLBPA took like 3 months or 4 months to even, the MLB and the owners took a very long time to come to the negotiating table with the MLBPA. Fine. And I think they actually negotiated, or the MLBPA extended an offer to the MLB, but then the MLB took 3 weeks to respond to that offer, even just as a respond to that offer. That's not consistent with a disastrous outcome. That's basically you're trying to wait them out to the deadline and then force them to take the offer that you're going to give them. And the players haven't budgeted on that, which I don't blame them for not doing that. Like, you're like, they're trying to bully you into taking an offer that's not good for you, good for them. So that's happened. Robert Manfred, who's the commissioner, also called the World Series trophy a piece of metal. Like, if you do that in any sport, if you call the trophy or the thing like a piece of metal, you're cracked. You're fucked. Like, so that happened.
Wow.
He failed to punish the Houston Astros for one of the biggest cheating scandals in pro American sports in the last decade.
What did he do?
Okay. So for anyone who has not followed baseball in the last
I know what the Astros did. But yeah. What did he say on that?
Yeah. So just to summarize here, in case people who don't know, the Houston Astros installed a camera in their outfield. They could see signs, which is basically telling you which pitch is coming, and they would smash, and they had a monitor in their dugout, and they would hit a garbage can, basically relaying the sign to the batter. That basically gave them a ridiculous advantage against pitchers and the visiting team because they only had access to that software. And they basically got a World Series as a result of it against one of the best teams ever constructed in the LA Dodgers. Again, maybe not one of the best teams ever constructed, but they were the best team in the MLB that year. So what did Robert Manfred do? He basically said, if you tell us everything, we'll give you full immunity. No penalty, no nothing.
Fuck.
Basically, they still have their trophy. They still have their banner. They still have their championship rings. He basically said, that's bad. Don't do it. The Astros were fined like they were fined a very significant amount of money. I think they had some sort of draft pick confiscation, but the players themselves had absolutely no consequences. Manfred's just
I thought Gary Bettman was bad.
That's a thing, right? Like, but here's the thing: they're both horrible in so many of their own ways, but. Yeah, I've wanted Robert Manfred gone for a while. I just don't vibe with the dude.
Never ever heard of his name until like literally 2-3 weeks ago, and I have the worst impression of him.
Like, if you just go there's a lot of good, really good videos on YouTube from like people who like content creators for baseball and the MLB on YouTube. And I would strongly encourage people listening just to kind of get a bit of a more kind of controlled and like more kind of informed opinion on this. Cause I'm basically just going off the top of my head right now. Cause there's so many things you could say about baseball right now. Yeah. But like Jeff Passan, who is probably one of my favorite baseball journalists, talks about this all the time, but like baseball is so like, they're not taking fan interest into account. They basically, they have such a very like they have a very narrow way of looking at the CBA negotiations right now. And you have players saying, this is for the, we're doing this for the fans. Like we're trying to build a better future for the people, like for the younger generation and the people who are coming up. But like, man, you're not gonna have any games. There's gonna be no league in like 5 years if this keeps going on. Like, anyways, I don't know.
Man, I hope baseball comes back. We've been talking for some time now. I think this is a good place to end today's episode, or this ride 28. Yeah, we might actually be back.
Ride one for today, but yes. Yeah.
This was a very, very non-hockey heavy episode.
Not at all. We got a lot of the
big news things out of the way with. I've been wanting to talk about the MLB situation for a long time now, so I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah.
And I know you're very passionate about this as well. I've been looking at your...
I'm very frustrated. Very frustrated. Like, I've been trying my best not to support them financially at all during this process. And it's working, actually.
It's working.
Yeah.
Okay. For today, that's it for now. Do you want to do the outro?
Yeah. So thanks again for listening. Again, be sure to take a look at our Linktree, follow all our socials, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Again, keep an eye on the highlights. There's a lot coming, especially if you're a new listener. Some of our better clips from our early episodes, which you might have missed, are going to be on our YouTube channel and our TikTok. So, yeah. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.